love Wednesdays when Stephen Mayne comes in and he just takes what's going on in a financial sense around Australia and just makes it so edible. I can understand it. I know that you'll enjoy talking with Stephen, particularly what it means to have this falling inflation rate, whether it's indicative of better things to come or whether we're still on the downward curve. Stephen Mayne, hello.
Hello, Libby.
What you thinking?
Well, I reckon that the elite tennis players will strengthen their case for the Australian Open to be delayed in future years.
Really?
Well, I mean, if we subject them to 3 43s in a row, and they are the best in the world, I mean, no sport can be played in 43 degrees. So there's always been a bit of a push from the players to delay it, but of course it fits perfectly with Melbourne, school holidays, record attendances, etc. But we really are incredibly unlucky just for the Australian Open, our premier international sporting event, and we're projecting to the world that, you know, we're sizzling at 43 3 days straight. And you're right, the A-League. I mean, you know, soccer's move to summer was, you know, controversial. Some said, what about the heat? Well,
guess what?
Good luck tonight, lads.
Yep, you're heroic. You're elite athletes. Show us what you're made
earning
of.
Earning your money tonight. Yes. So amazing.
Stephen, you know the fall in the inflation rate?
Pretty bad news, you know.
Is it bad news?
Well, it's a symptom of the crisis.
Right.
So it's, you know, in ordinary times, it's good to have low inflation to control it. But to have prices collapsing or, you know, falling so dramatically just reflects massive economic weakness and the fact that we've plunged into recession, a global recession. So what the regulators are trying to do is they're trying to do reflation.
Hmm.
They're trying to inflate prices because think about the stock market. It's not inflating at the moment, is it?
Well, they've normally got hot air.
It's deflated by 50% in the last year. So we need to reflate asset prices. And
how do you do that? I mean, I was under the understanding that the fall in inflation had to do with falling petrol prices.
Well, that was the biggest factor, yeah, falling petrol prices. But
they're going to go back up again within a matter of weeks if we look at Singapore as any kind of indication.
Yeah,
as we do.
Maybe. But the oil price is symptomatic of everything, that all asset prices have crashed, including oil.
So, oil has crashed in the global oil price, but in the Asian region it hasn't.
Gone from 148 to sort of less than 50. So it's bouncing up a little bit from, it got to sort of 33 and it's pushing back up into the 40s now. But it's still fallen by 70%. And that's what's happening the world over. Property prices are crashing in the US, all over the world, particularly in the US. Our iron ore and coal prices are going to take tens of billions of dollars off our national income next year. So it's just been a series of asset bubbles that got out of control that have all crashed simultaneously, and that is now showing up in the inflation figures, which therefore means that next Tuesday we will have a big historic day when Australian interest rates will be cut to the lowest level ever. I mean, they've never been below 4.25.
Do you think?
Well, I think they'll do at least 1%. Now, we've still got, apart from New Zealand, the Kiwis are about to cut from 5 to 4. We've still got pretty much the highest rates in the world. I mean, think about, you know, the Americans are at 0 to 0.25, so are the Japanese. The UK have just cut to 1.5% this month, which is the lowest since 1694. We can't go back that far, but we're going to have the lowest in 20 years since we started doing the official cash rate in Australia when we deregulated the financial system. So I think, yeah, we'll come down to 3%. And, you know, this typical home mortgage rate, currently 6.9 thereabouts, that comes off by 1%. That's $10 billion of relief, just like that, annualised. That's a big bit of relief, and probably goes again. Westpac today is saying it'll be 2% by the middle of the year. You know, I think you'll be looking at mortgage rates at 5% by the middle of the year, and that's $20 billion in annualised savings. These are amazing acts of stimulation to the economy and to spending. But we're also seeing extraordinary cuts in wealth. So people are finding it easier to service their mortgage, but they're seeing their house prices fall, and particularly their super fall, and their share prices fall, and a lot of people losing their jobs. So, how do you catch a falling knife? It's just amazing.
So we're still on the downward curve. We haven't bottomed out yet.
No, I think regulators all over the world are just in panic mode. It's in whatever it takes mode, and, you know, the federal government. I think what's going to happen actually out of Canberra is Kevin Rudd is meeting with all the premiers one by one in a very public way. I think what you're going to see is basically the feds will take over much of the previously announced state government infrastructure programs. I mean, it was ridiculous that We Are Australia, which is the only, was the only government in the world that doesn't, federal government in the world that doesn't spend a dollar on public transport. So we do have this ridiculous system where the states do all the work, the feds don't do anything except raise money. And so it's logical to do that. And because it's all Labor, and because the states are all desperately borrowing money, I mean, already before the financial crisis, Victoria's net new borrowing this year was $4 billion. I mean, we're borrowing big time and we need to be bailed out, and the feds are going to do that.
I've got a question that's come in on the SMS for you, Stephen. How is Connex going financially? Is it making money? Is it worthwhile for anyone else to apply for the new contract?
Well, Connex is owned by a big French multinational, which I think has had troubles in the UK. I must admit, I haven't looked up their finances, but they haven't gone broke. And this would be an unpopular view, but the actual controversial decision of the Kennett government to sell off all those franchises has actually saved the state many, many hundreds of millions of dollars, because all the operators who came in had done their shirts. So. But, you know, even so, people don't want to hear that when they're sweating on a cancelled train today, do they?
No. It's just interesting to know whether you can make a profit, whether it's a viable business to actually run Victoria's trains.
Well, I don't think there's really a viable public transport system in the world when you include all the capital costs. I mean, look at the tube in London, you know. It makes plenty of cash in a cash sense, but if you actually properly valued it. So governments have got to admit, you've got to fund public transport. It's a loss-making business. It's a public service. And, you can contract out some private group to have a go, and we've tried that for a few years. Or you can do what most of the rest of Australia does and leave it with the state. And in New South Wales, I think they're even angrier than down here, where they've got all the problems of underinvestment and gross inefficiencies up there as well.
It is 5:15 on 774 ABC Melbourne. Stephen Mayne is your guest, just going through the financial state of the country. I've got a text message that says to me that my jokes were crap 10 years ago. Move on, girl. Thank you. Glad you're thinking that. I will take that into account and play a straight bat for you. Hamish wants to know about gold. Stephen, don't you laugh.
Keeps going up.
He's laughing at me.
Yeah. Lihir Gold today, our second biggest gold producer, just come out with a terrific set of figures, and shares went up. So gold is the ultimate sort of reserve of value. And with currencies crashing, the pound has been crashing, people don't know where to put the money. So it is performing that traditional safe haven function. So gold has been one of the best places to be over the last 12 months, but it is now getting close to sort of traditional highs. Whether you'd pull your money out of the stock market and put it into gold now, after it's gone up a lot, I'm not so sure. But interesting to watch. I mean, as various governments around the world go broke, I mean, the Icelanders have gone broke, the Brits are under a lot of pressure. It will be very interesting to see whether any of the central banks around the world, who still control roughly around a third of the world's gold, whether they start selling. I mean, there was a big controversy when Peter Costello sold two-thirds of our gold reserves back in 1997 at a price of about half of what the price is today. If you were the Reserve Bank, if you were being rational, I think the Reserve Bank should sell all our gold today and put it into infrastructure. I mean, why does the Reserve Bank need to own gold? I mean, traditionally, you keep gold so you can bribe the border guards.
For that's the rainy day.
Yeah, that's the ultimate thing. It's the ultimate store of value. So when the revolution is on, you've got something to bribe the border guards with when you're getting out. That was going back hundreds of years. So I don't understand why central banks really feel they've got to own a third of the world's gold. And with the governments going broke, I reckon they're going to be starting to sell soon.
Stephen Mayne commenting on the finances of this fair country. Stephen, one SMS for you. Someone wants to know. It's not Simon, it's someone. I'm going on holiday to the US in June. Should I change my money now? In your humble opinion,
it traditionally averages mid-70s. I'd wait for it to kick above 70 if I was leaving in June.
Okay. What else has caught your fancy?
Well, some interesting figures today from Woolworths. Woolworths is the world's 22nd biggest retailer, and it is just an incredible, voracious juggernaut. I mean, people say they're very ferocious competitors. They're so tough. They're so hard, and they're so good. I mean, their sales today are up 8.8% for the half year. $26 billion in sales. So they're doing $1 billion a week. We do have the most concentrated grocery sector in the world, with the big two, Coles and Woolies, and Woolies are just
creaming it,
streaking them. So their shares are up.
What is it? Is there any? Do we know what it is
about Woolworths? About
Coles.
Well, they have Woolies just have this amazing discipline. They've invested in their technology in their stores, and a Woolies marketing person can tell a supplier we'll do this nationally, and bang, it gets done. So they've just got their supply chain and their marketing and their discipline absolutely right, whereas Coles over the years was a bit of a dog's breakfast, and they had state managers and they just didn't have the efficiency, didn't invest in their stores. And so Woolies had just done 8.8%, and Coles' growth over the last similar period was half that, was 4%. So Woolies really are just streaking them, and you know, they're also the biggest poker machine operator in the country, and their pokies sales were up 5.2% in the December half versus flat in the September half. So with their 12,000 poker machines across the country, clearly they had a nice little revenue boost from the Rudd handout in December.
Wesfarmers wouldn't be too happy.
Well, Wesfarmers have basically been in a bit of a debt crisis, but I think they've actually finally saved their bacon this week. They've done a second, basically an emergency capital raising. They've raised $2.9 billion. There'll be another billion coming from their small investors who still own about 50% of the company. So they're still in trouble, if you like, because, I mean, they claim they're worth $19 billion. The market still says they're only worth sort of $13 or $14 billion. So they're still, compared to Woolies, I mean, Woolies claims they're worth $6 billion. So if you look at the Woolworths annual report, they say, we think we're worth $6 billion, yet the market value for Woolworths is $33 billion. So in other words, they have created all this value just by being incredibly disciplined. Woolworths is now the fifth biggest company in the country. It's not, you know, it's gone past News Corp. Rupert Murdoch, world's most famous international media company, News Corp, you know, is now only worth $28 billion. And News Corp claims it's worth $43 billion. So News Corp is actually facing potentially a massive write-down, like we're seeing so many companies around the world are just suddenly saying, in the new reality of plunging share prices, we claim we're worth a lot more than we are. And News Corp's $14 billion over the odds. Wesfarmers claims they're worth $8 billion more than the market says. And the contrast with Woolies is just amazing. It is just an extraordinary juggernaut.
One more thing before we do a quick wrap around all of our competing interests that we have in this program today. You said that there's a loss of wealth. The really wealthy. What's going on with the Packers now?
Well, I think just from all the atmospherics of everything from James putting on weight, is said to be not happy, is selling off his pastoral business for $400 million, has cancelled delivery of his yacht, is not doing his extensions to his Hunter Valley retreat, has already previously admitted to having about $1 billion of private debt, has watched the share price of Crown plunge from more than $15 to $6, has done a bit of a capital raising with Crown. I think the story here with James is that he repeated his father's payday when he sold Channel 9 and the magazine business for a profit of effectively $3 billion, but then he madly reinvested several billion into casinos, and Macau has fallen apart. He's committed to buy three casinos in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is falling apart. And by the looks of things, he actually has a little bit of a debt problem. And to be selling off the pastoral business, you know, all, you know, the bigger than Tasmania sort of cattle holdings for $400 million, which is the jewel in the crown in the private family Packer empire. To be doing that and cancelling the yacht, I think it says that he's under pressure, and I think his net wealth is probably under $2 billion and falling.
A realignment in Australia's elite, I think, is what we're actually seeing in this cycle. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks, Libby.